You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Is it really possible to make dogs talk? Is it possible to bend silverware, knives, and spoons through the power of the mind? Now, what would you say to a woman who claims she could grow a beard by merely exercising her mental powers? In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, there is now a committee investigating these most unusual claims. They are offering $5,000 to anyone who can perform these incredible feats under scientific conditions. In 3 years, this committee checked out 47 claims. They have received hundreds of phone calls and letters, but they have never paid out 1 cent because those who claim these unusual powers have been exposed as fakes. In every century, the rumor of unusual and miracle-type events has caused flurry and commotion in communities, and spectacular life and death situations have always aroused the most intense interest. No wonder, then, there was so much confusion, such a mixture of belief and unbelief, skepticism and faith, fear and wonder during the first week after the first Easter. Indeed, something very unusual had happened near Jerusalem. A miracle had taken place. Even the hardened enemies of Jesus were aware of the growing tension and anxiety. The man called Jesus had been crucified on a Friday afternoon. His loyal friends laid him in a tomb that same evening. 3 days later, the insuppressible and incredible story began to leak out. But it was more than just a rumor. The incredible news of a dead man being raised to life was moving rapidly through the Jerusalem community. The miracle worker, the master teacher, the prophet, the one called Jesus, was not dead. He was alive. And evidence began to surface. Doubters turned into believers. Now, this resurrected Redeemer did not withhold proof of his resurrection from his loyal followers. Already on Sunday evening, the day of the resurrection, the crucified Messiah, the one who had suffered and died on the cross, now suddenly appeared in a room to his loyal followers. These dedicated disciples were frightened. They were scared to death. In the Gospel of Luke, we read that these disciples thought they were seeing a ghost. Oh, one can scarcely imagine the confusion and joy that filled the hearts of the disciples as they saw their blessed Savior now standing in the midst of them. Only days earlier, they had seen him beaten and hung on a cruel cross. And now he was healthy, he was alive, and he was speaking to them with authority. Truly, with mouths fallen open, they must have marveled over this miracle of miracles. Now, for some unexplained reason, one of the disciples of Jesus named Thomas was not present at this Easter Sunday evening celebration. This history-shaking event is described in the Bible. I am reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with the disciples when Jesus appeared the first time. The other disciples, therefore, were saying to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas responded, "Unless I shall see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, we are told, Jesus met again with his disciples, and this time Thomas was with them. Again, even while the doors were shut, Jesus suddenly appeared in the midst of his disciples. "Peace be unto you," Jesus said. And then turning to doubting Thomas, Jesus said, "Reach here your finger, and see my hands, and reach here your hand, and put it into my side. And do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered and said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are all those who do not see and yet believe." Now, instead of congratulating Thomas on a faith based on what he saw and what he felt, Jesus took this opportunity to announce a special blessing. given to all those who simply believe in him without waiting or demanding visual proofs or other physical evidence. This unexpected announcement of the Savior, offering a special blessing even today to all who simply trust in the Savior and his living word, may come, yes, it may come as quite a surprise or even shock to many in our doubt-filled generation. In our generation, one often gets the impression that in order to have a true and saving faith, one must have some type of special emotional or spiritual experience or witness some unusual vision. And of course, feeling this pressure of needing special evidence for faith is no doubt what caused one listener of our program to recently write our counseling department and say, "I really want to be a child of God. I am asking you for some spiritual advice so that I can feel as you children of God feel." This intense desire today, this seeking for signs and wonders, is also demonstrated in a story which appeared in most major newspapers across the country. An elderly woman in the Los Angeles area was praying for her cancer-stricken husband. Allegedly, suddenly the form of a cross appeared on the bathroom window of her home. This sensational story spread quickly through the neighborhood, and almost immediately, people flocked from far and wide to see this unusual phenomenon. According to news reports, on one Friday, over 900 people waited in line for a tour through this house. The news story also noted that the once quiet suburban street where the house is located was quickly changed. It was jammed with bumper-to-bumper traffic. Now let me ask you, would you say that this attitude of always seeking special signs and wonders is pleasing to God? Instead of expressing our own opinions on this extremely emotional and highly controversial subject, let us agree, shall we, to the authority of the Word of God? You see, it was Jesus who said, "Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe." Now perhaps, as you listen today, you realize that you are one of the countless individuals who has never had any unusual religious experience whatsoever. You have had no visions. You have no dramatic testimony to tell. And you can claim no special revelation from God, okay? Now, according to the Bible, instead of feeling inferior and instead of feeling left out by God, let your heart today be greatly encouraged by the blessed promise of Jesus spoken especially for you. In your situation, you are especially blessed. Yes, simply believe that when this life is over, Jesus will take you to heaven along with all those who trust in him and all those who look forward to his coming. Indeed, my friend, as surprising as this may sound to you, the Savior promises a special blessing to you and all those who simply place their faith and their complete trust in his sin-cleansing blood. This promise is given to all who seek no other signs and wonders. Now, if a president or a king or a premier invited you to come to his office, and if that same world leader promised to give you $10 million to do with whatever you wanted, I am sure you would be very, very excited. Now, the question is this: would you ever actually receive this special gift? Most likely you would. However, history has shown that even great world leaders have often changed their minds. What an encouragement, then, to read the inspired words of St. Paul to the congregation in the city of Corinth, that God is always faithful. He never changes his mind. God's promise to us of grace and mercy, these promises are always reliable. And even more encouraging is God's promise found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. If we are faithless, the scriptures say, God remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If there is ever an hour in your life when the devil tempts you to question God's promise of a heavenly home, then cling tightly to the divine promise found in the Epistle of Titus, that God, who cannot lie, ages ago promised the hope of eternal life. Yes, my friend, if you have been hoping and praying for something spiritually unusual and religiously dramatic to happen in your life so that you can be sure of your salvation, and if this endless anxiety, if this waiting and worrying has upset the frail faith you now possess, then launch out today with renewed confidence in the crucified and resurrected Christ. For it is for people like yourself, who can claim no spectacular religious experience, that Jesus is speaking in love and mercy when he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." For faith roots which are grounded deeply and solidly in the unchanging and living Word of God, re-examine for just a moment what took place on Good Friday, that darkest day of history, that day when Jesus the Savior suffered and bled on the crucifixion cross. As this sinless Savior hung there, suspended on a wooden beam between two criminals, a brief but important conversation took place between one of the malefactors and the blessed Savior. One of the criminals began to make fun of Jesus, hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? If so, then save yourself and also save us." But the second criminal, rebuking the first, said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? We indeed are justly receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong." And then the second criminal, with a repentant heart, turned to Jesus and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus responded by saying, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Oh, let this dialogue from the cross, these brief words between the repentant criminal and the Redeemer, be of great consolation for your troubled heart. This man, this criminal, who acknowledged his sin and who appealed to Jesus for forgiveness and salvation, was in no position to rest his faith on signs and wonders or on how he felt emotionally at that punishing hour. If this crucified malefactor had rested his faith on how he felt, he would have certainly believed he was going straight to hell. His physical punishment was more than any man could ever bear. But the sorrow-filled criminal did not trust his feelings. No, instead, in his hour of painful death, this tortured soul with a repentant heart clung firmly to the merciful and saving promise of Jesus. The beautiful words of the Savior, this divine promise of paradise, carried this man's soul, cleansed from sin by the Savior's blood, into the very presence of God. Oh, how the devil tries to deceive us. At every opportunity, he does his very best to tempt us to place our faith and our trust in our feelings, or our sensory perceptions, or some other human evidence instead of God's holy and reliable promises. Many centuries ago, Moses led the people of God through the wilderness. After many days, however, these restless people began speaking against God and Moses. As a punishment for their sin, God sent serpents. He sent snakes among the people. These snakes bit the people, and many people died. The people cried to Moses for help, and he responded. He interceded for the people. The Lord heard the prayer of Moses and said, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard or a pole. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at this serpent raised upon the pole, shall live." Now, this story does not make very much sense, does it? Actually, it sounds rather ridiculous. There would be many today who would openly laugh and scoff at this, looking at a snake mounted on top of a pole, hoping this would heal one from a poisonous snake bite. You've got to be kidding. But do you know why this cured the snake bite and saved the lives of all who looked at the serpent for help? Simply because God said it would be so. It is no wonder then why the hymn writer wrote, "What God ordains is always good." Indeed, we see again we are not saved by how we feel, nor by anything that we do, nor by special visions, signs, or wonders. We are saved by the almighty power of God's promises. We are saved by the grace of God, and all of these blessings come through God's gift of faith. Centuries later, in his discussion with Nicodemus, Jesus said, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life." Oh, indeed, every one of us at one time or another has felt like doubting Thomas. Oh, the pressures of the devil to cause us to doubt, the clever mental manipulations instigated by Satan to question our faith, and the blatant trickery of the evil one tempting us to question the Word of God. All these fiery, soul-destroying darts of the evil one constantly assail and badger you and me and all struggling believers. In that hour when the devil extends his invitation to doubt, we must, by faith, cling even more firmly to the Word and promise of God. For greater is Jesus Christ who lives within the heart of the believer than the devil who lives in the world. Oh, my friends, seek no more than special signs and wonders. Give up all your doubts and instead trust totally in God's divine promise. The Word is living. The Word is active. The Word is always at work to save those who receive it by faith and trust totally in it. The Word, the basis of our faith, became flesh and dwelt among us. This living incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus, was crucified for our sins and raised again for our salvation. Let this simple message be your unwavering hope. Let this then be for you a new day. Seek no signs and wonders. Simply believe and trust in Jesus. Jesus said that all those who do not see and yet believe will be blessed. It is our sincere prayer today, my friend, that you will be one of those. May God grant this to you in your life. Amen.